TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, welcome in. Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill. The Minnesota Timberwolves have another game tonight after a really weird week, I think is the best way I can sum it up with what happened last week. We opened up on Monday, a 49-minute delay before the game started. Wednesday, they're on the road, whatever. Friday, overtime. Yesterday, overtime. Yeah. It was a weird week. Yesterday's game might have been the weirdest one of them all, too, Manny. I mean, this team was down 16 points. They were down 90-74 with 6 minutes and 43 seconds left in regulation. And then they get 15 consecutive stops on the defensive end of the floor to go on a 16-0 run, tie things up with a little over 40 seconds left in regulation. Meanwhile, they set the franchise record for ineptitude from three point range in a game. Yeah. It was just a weird week at Target Center.
I have to say, admittedly I didn't watch the entire game yesterday, but you know I caught That's a good okay. chunk of it. I have to say that I was pretty impressed yesterday by them because it just felt like they scrapped and clawed their way back into a game in which they did not shoot the ball well at all. No. 6-for-45 from three, 35% from the field overall. I mean, to get themselves back into a game like that against a good team, against a team that is trying to be one of the top seeds in the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets are a legit good team.
Yeah, they've been. I mean, they had some early season struggles, and I think that Nikola Jokic needs to get in better shape because
he does look a little bit.
Had watched Denver a couple of times on TV.
Yeah,
but watching them in person yesterday, Nikola Jokic is noticeably larger than he was last year. I mean, the camera adds 10 pounds, whatever. Well, sure. In real life, it was like 25 pounds, it looked like. He looked thicker.
Yeah, he's interesting because I remember when the Wolves beat the Nuggets to get into the playoffs 2 years ago. There was talk after, because Taj did a pretty good job on him defensively late in that game and in overtime and everything. And I remember seeing some people that covered the Nuggets and just talking about the Nuggets in general, just saying like, Nikola needs to get in better shape. He's been great this year. He's come on the scene, but he's got to get in better shape. And it's interesting that here we are, a year and a half, I guess, or so later, and we're kind of having that conversation about him again. And I wonder if that is something with him. He's obviously a great player, but I wonder if that's just something that's going to be kind of an issue with him just this whole time. And if that's going to be an issue, man, that's going to be something that will keep them from being a championship contender.
Yeah, and you know what? But credit to him because he hit the game winner last night. He hit a game winner against Philadelphia earlier that week for them. He's still a really good basketball player, but I don't think he's physically where he needs to be if Denver wants to get to where they want to go. But anyway, for the Wolves, Karl-Anthony Towns, I think he's out of rhythm, Manny. I think that's what's going on right now because ever since he got in that hugging match with Joel Embiid, he really hasn't looked the same.
I love that you call it a hugging
match.
Yeah, it was.
Like, Karl got poked in the eye. Yeah. They hugged. Joel Embiid got tackled by Jeff Teague. Like, no one landed a punch.
Right.
Sure, the NBA called it a fight, but for me to call it a fight, someone has to land a legitimate punch. Karl tried, but he ended up just hugging Embiid, and Embiid hugged him right back until Jeff Teague ripped him off. Like, I refuse to call that, like, a legitimate fight. It was a hugging match.
Isn't that what Chuck called it, too? Like,
TNT, he said something along those lines,
Like, it was a hug fest or something.
Yeah, like they just hugged. But he's been out of rhythm since then. He hasn't, like, his shot looks a little bit off. And one of the concerns that it's starting to grow with me, is he hasn't been good from the free throw line this year. Like,
I noticed that.
He was a guy that I thought, you know what? In this system, with as good as Karl shoots and just everything that he does well, he could be a 50-40-90 guy. He could shoot 50% from the floor, 40% from beyond the arc, and 90% at the line. That's out the window now because he can't get there at the line. He's already missed too many free throws to be a 90% free throw shooter. Like, it's been that bad.
Yeah, it's really surprising and it's really troubling. And I remember seeing, I think it might have been the Philadelphia game or I can't remember what game it was, but he had basically missed his first four free throws of the game. And I'm thinking to myself, yo, Cat, this is not you, dude. You're traditionally like in the low 80s, 82, 83% at the line. And you would think with him sort of coming into his own as a player, continuing to grow, that he would have the potential to, like you said, shoot 90%. But that's probably out the window now with this slow start he's gotten off to there.
He's at 70% right now. He is 33 of 47 at the free throw line. And I think that encapsulates him not being in rhythm right now, because aside from that, yesterday he went 3 of 13 from deep. Now, the one he hit at the end of regulation was huge, and it was the reason they got to go to overtime against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 of 13 is not who Karl Anthony Towns is. And it's not like he was forcing shots. He wasn't taking, I mean, sure, they were being contested at the end, but Carl was getting good looks and just could not make them. He has to be out of rhythm, and he was frustrated after the game Sunday. He really didn't want to talk about it, but you can tell that a rhythm is just missing from his game.
Yeah, and I'm so curious to see and to find out like what it actually is. I mean, sometimes you just see guys, they go into shooting funks, but with him, I mean, usually if a guy gets into a shooting funk, it's just shots are just not falling. 3-point shots just aren't falling, but they're usually still really good at the free throw line.
Yeah.
But this, with him sort of struggling at the free throw line, and the 3-point shot is not really falling at the rate you want it now, and just shots overall are not falling for him, it's a little disturbing, because this team, if they're going to, I mean, we still know, you know, playoffs are a bit of a long shot for this team still, but if we want to see this team play well and show progress, Cat needs to be at the forefront of that. And if he's having struggles like this, man, it's troubling. It's really troubling.
It certainly is. And I expect it to be fixed. I don't obviously 90% that the line's out the window now, but I expect him to revert back to form, because he's too talented not to.
It's too good.
Like, he's too good to not be, to come out and have another 3 of 13 game from three. And like, sure, there are going to be blips on the radar where he just has a bad night, but it's been continuously ever since he's been suspended. And the numbers have still been there. Like, he's still finding a way to put up solid numbers, but they're not the numbers they should be. Like, Carl should be averaging 32 points a game this year.
Yes, with
everything and just how good he is, he should be around that number. And instead, he's a little over 25. And that doesn't sound like a huge difference, but it is.
I wonder if it's... These things are so hard to figure out, because sometimes it's mental with these guys, and sometimes there's might be, you know, a slight little tweak mechanically or something. I'm just really curious to find out what it is. I don't know if it's a mental thing, if he's just thinking way too much or something, or if there is something that's slightly off in his shot. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this thing sort of plays out the next couple of games, to see if he can get back in rhythm. And I mean, you're in Detroit on the second half of a back-to-back after playing an overtime game tonight. I mean, it's, you know, he's going to have to get this figured out pretty quickly here.
Yeah, there's no other option really other than get it figured out really quickly, and especially with them playing again tonight in Detroit. And listen, they're 5-4 in the season. Playoffs always have been a long shot for this team.
Yep.
No matter how optimistic you were, it was difficult to see them in the final eight at the end of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Possible, but difficult. Listen, I was more pessimistic about this team than most. I didn't think they would look as good as they've looked.
Yep.
But I think that they missed Jeff Teague.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they missed Shabazz Napier. Having both their point guards be out at the same time is really difficult for them to overcome. But that being said, Andrew Wiggins has really stepped up.
Man, has he ever.
Andrew Wiggins deserves a ton of credit for what he's done so far this year.
He has far surpassed my expectations. I thought we would see a little bit of improvement with him just almost by default, because the system that they were going to run just sort of feeds into his strengths a little bit more, and they've gotten him away from shooting the long twos and things like that. But I think for him to get the volume of shots that he's been taking, and to be hitting shots at the rate that he's taking, the 3-point percentage is still down. There's still room for improvement there.
Sure.
But I think just overall, his game, Danny, just looks so much better. There's just so much improvement.
So listen to what Andrew has right now per game career highs. I realize he's played 9 games. Like, this is an incredibly small sample size. But right now, he has a career high in points per game. He has a career high in blocks per game, a career high in assists per game, almost a career high in rebounds per game. He is 1/10 of away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting a career high effective field goal percentage, a career high percentage from 2. This is the best he's ever shot from inside the arc. And it's the least amount of turnovers he's ever had. He's been good. Like, it's not good, just, yeah. Oh, you know, he's on a hot streak. No, this is like Andrew Wiggins has been good at basketball.
And I think it's been enough of a sample size now to think that it's legit and not just a little blip on the radar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we've seen him play, have a 2 or 3 game stretch in the past where he plays really well. And then we get tricked into thinking, okay, is this the time now where Andrew's turned the corner? But then he reverts back to the same old stuff. This just feels different, Danny. This feels a lot different. I think it's more of a sample size. I think we're seeing things from him now that we really haven't seen before. We're seeing him shoot more efficient shots more efficiently. We're seeing the rebounding, you know, pick up a notch. We're seeing the playmaking pick up a notch. This is, I never would have thought just even a couple of weeks ago that I'd be saying this, but I'm starting to be a believer in Andrew Wiggins.
There's reason to be a believer. I mean, he's shooting a career high field goal percentage right now, career high effective field goal percentage. Andrew Wiggins has looked good. Like, this isn't just, oh, Andrew Wiggins has had a couple good games. No, like, he's consistently been good. The first couple of games were not good, but to his credit, he closed out them really strong.
He helped them win. Yep.
He has been the reason that they are 5-4. Without Andrew Wiggins, this is a 2-win team right now because they don't beat Golden State. They don't beat Brooklyn.
They don't beat Miami.
They certainly don't beat Miami. Andrew Wiggins has won them games.
It's amazing to think. Now, I guess my question is, how much has our outlook of him as far as future plans for this franchise changed now? And again, it's just 9 games, but how much is sort of the outlook on whether or not he can be a part of this thing long term, has that changed at all in your mind?
It's too early to definitively say about that, but there's hope.
Yeah.
And there should be hope. I mean, whether it's hope that Andrew Wiggins is around for the long haul now as a complimentary piece to Karl Anthony Towns, even if he's still slightly overpaid, or if there's hope that someone else is going to want to take him this offseason because you can make a move that makes this franchise more potent and you can add maybe a playmaking guard that you're missing.
Yeah.
But there's hope.
Yeah, and I think what'll be fascinating to watch now over the next, you know, couple of months as we progress through the season will be, do we see even more growth from him? Do we see him even get even better? Because again, like we've seen, I think, enough of a sample size to think that he has improved significantly, but there's also so much more basketball to be played, obviously.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if there's even another gear that he can kick this up to. It's going to be really fascinating to watch.
Listen, I mean, we're like a little over a 1/9 of the way into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of basketball left to be played. But what we've seen so far is not only encouraging, but it's encouraging because there's reason to believe it's going to continue to be this way. It's not, oh, you know what, Andrew's just had a good couple of nights shooting. No, Andrew's taking better shots. That's why his numbers look better. Andrew's getting to the rim. That's why he's shooting so well inside the arc. The thing that I think is the most encouraging, that he's doing this while shooting he hasn't been good from 3. He's shooting 31% from deep.
And he's still been good. Yeah.
There's plenty of room for improvement there, and I do think that that's going to improve. I think he's going to finish the year. I would bet he finishes the year between 34 and 35% from 3. How much better is he going to look if another 3 per game starts to fall or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking this, like, if he can get up to league average from 3, which is what, 35, about 35%?
Around there.
If he can get up to that and he continues to shoot well from inside the arc like he has, he gets to the rim. I mean, this is going to be a good thing for him. I'm wondering, how is he getting to the line more often?
No. That's the one
really?
Thing that I think it's still too small of a sample size there to start being curious about that. But he's getting the line slightly more often than he has the past couple of years.
Sure.
But not early in his career. Earlier in his career, he was getting to the line almost six times. He got to the line seven times a game.
He was one of the best in the league. As a rookie, he was one of the best in the league at getting to the
line. His rookie year, it was just under six. His second year, it was seven times a game. Right now, he's at 4.8.
Okay.
I'd like to see that be around 5.5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if he continues going to the rim, maybe that becomes the case. Maybe that's what we start to see. But for right now, I think that that's the one thing where I'm going to say, you know what, I want to wait and see, because officiating changes throughout the year. And it's a question I've been pondering for a while. It's something I want to write on at scorenorth.com eventually, but I do need to see more before I can say, Andrew's attacking the rim and he's not getting to the line. Why is that?
One thing with this team overall that I'll be really curious to see is they've gotten off to a nice start, 5-4 through 9 games. When the time comes where they lose a couple of games in a row, and it's going to happen. It happens to everybody in the league.
I mean, it could happen tonight.
Yeah.
They could lose their second in a row tonight.
But if they get hit with like a 3 or 4 game losing streak at some point, how will they respond? That will be something I'll be curious to see, because, you know, things are looking good. Even last night, I mean, there's positives, I think, after, even though they lost last night, I think you can take certainly some positives from it, that they hung with a good team despite not shooting the ball very well. I'm curious to see how, you know, when that time comes where they get a couple, you know, 2-3 losses in a row, 4 losses in a row, how they sort of recover from that, if they can bounce back from that and sort of stop the bleeding.
That's when I'll be the most interested in whether or not they stick to the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because even last night was not a good night shooting, but they stuck to the system. They broke a franchise record for the most amount of threes ever missed in a game.
Yep.
Before last night, there were only 12 games where they attempted 39 threes or more in a single game. They missed 39 against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
They went 6 of 43 from deep. They stuck to the system, though. Their shots didn't fall, but they still took the right shots that Ryan wants them taking. And I think that that's a positive that you can glean away from that game.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it sort of goes back to the Philadelphia game, in which, you know, they got punched in the mouth, no pun intended.
Hugged in the mouth.
And they found themselves down big and you know, we heard Kat talk about that after the game. Like, we got away from the system. We got away from, you know, and that sort of thing is what cannot happen with them. And the fact that, you know, like you said last night, you don't have a very good shooting night. 6 of 45 from three. They're not going to go 6 of 45 from three in every single game. And I think that is more of a reason to stick to this.
The 39 threes were the third most in a single game in NBA history. And I will give you one guess of the franchise that holds the record for the top two spots.
Rockets?
Yes, both of them. Both. They went one game, I think they went 28 for 70. I mean, they broke the record for most makes in a game, and misses simultaneously.
Only the Rockets. Only Mike D'Antoni. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be fascinating to watch. I'm glad that, I mean, not just because, you know, I've watched this team my whole life or anything like that, and I've sort of grown attached to them, but I'm glad that they have gotten off to this nice start and that they have shown and given us some things to really dive into, because that was, you know, you and I, we talked during the summer about how grueling the schedule was going to be for them at the start. Now, we didn't anticipate Golden State being as bad as they've been.
Second worst team in the NBA.
Yeah. I know you picked them to miss the playoffs, but
feel I don't think real good about that now.
I don't think anybody anticipated them being on a 60 loss pace or whatever.
No, I didn't think they'd be this bad. I thought they would struggle defensively.
Yeah.
And I thought that they just didn't have enough NBA players on their roster to make the playoffs to win 45 plus games.
Yeah.
I was right about that, because even before Curry got hurt, they were not a playoff team.
Yeah, they were looking bad.
But this is far worse than anything I thought.
Yeah, and the Wolves have looked so much better than I think either one of us could have anticipated, because we looked at the schedule at the start and was just like, Right, this was not a kind setup for them to get out of the gate off to a good start, you know, with Golden State and Philadelphia and Milwaukee on the schedule. But they've hung in there, and they are 5-4, and in which, you know, I would have thought they would have been closer to like 2-7 or something like that through nine games.
The reason they're not is Andrew Wiggins.
Imagine that.
The reason they're not is Andrew Wiggins. It is what it is. That's the truth, though.
Let's let that breathe for a minute. The reason the Wolves are 5-4 is because of Andrew Wiggins.
Yes. And you know what? For them to hit their ceiling this year, they needed Andrew to take a giant improvement.
Yeah.
And so far he has. He's been great. There's really nothing else for me to say on that matter.
Yeah. Jared Culver, what do you think? What have you seen?
I think he's growing more comfortable by the game. I thought last night was a big step for him. Like he's so much better on the floor when he's focused on getting to the rim. But when he's not a good shooter right now. Yeah. His shot still has a little bit of a hitch in it. He's really struggled from deep. I think he's only made 2 or 3 3-pointers all season. Or no, he had that big game in Washington where he had a couple. But when he gets to the rim, that's when he's the best. That's when he's at the best version of himself. It needs to happen more often, but that's when he's actually okay. It's a growing, he's going through some growing pains, I think. Sure. But I still think that there's reason for optimism surrounding him.
What are your early takeaways from him as like a ball handler and creator? Because he's been asked to do that a little bit more, obviously, with Teague and Napier being out.
I actually think that's when he's the most comfortable right now. I think that's when he is most comfortable, when he's in charge and he's running things. I think that's when he feels the best on the court, when he's able to make decisions. And listen, it's going to be a learning process no matter what. Whether he's handling the ball, whether he's playing a secondary role, whatever it is, it's going to be a learning process for a 20-year-old kid like him. But I think he's most comfortable with the ball in his hands, making decisions and helping to facilitate for others.
You think Jake Lehman will get going?
I do. I think that the talent is there. I don't know why it hasn't necessarily clicked yet for him, but I do think he'll get going. I think that he's a talented kid.
Yeah, I've just been wondering. I was looking at his numbers, and nobody on the Wolves really had a great shooting night yesterday, but, you know, he was 4-for-12 yesterday, 0-for-6 from three. I just feel like there is something there, and it just, you know, maybe in his case, it's just going to take him a little while for those shots to fall. He's not taking bad shots. He's not really playing poorly. He's just, the shots just aren't falling.
Well,
right,
I don't think anyone really was taking bad shots yesterday.
Yeah.
I just think that they missed a lot of them. It was just a bad day for shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver didn't exactly light it up offensively.
That
game went to overtime, tied at 90, man. It felt like a 2015 Wolves-Grizzlies game.
Grit and grind. Yeah. It kind of felt, that was,
it was bad.
Denver is, I'm really, really, really intrigued by what they can do when they get to the postseason. Because there's just so much talent there. They're really deep. Jokic obviously is terrific. But Denver seems like they just have that good mix of veteran guys with like guys like Millsap and also young guys, obviously, with Jokic and Murray and Gary Harris and those guys. But Denver's... I know that, you know, this is obviously a Wolves podcast and Denver's sort of a division rival, if you will, quote unquote. But they're an intriguing team to watch, man. I'm really excited to see where Denver goes here too.
Yes, I don't think that they're necessarily a championship contender, but they're a fun team.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Wolves play Detroit tonight. They've got a busy week with San Antonio here on Wednesday, Washington, I believe, on Friday, and then the Rockets come to town Saturday night. So busy week at Target Center. I'll be there for all of them, and just more basketball, Manny.
Very quickly, since they're playing Detroit tonight, are you surprised to see one Derrick Rose playing as well as he's been playing for them?
I tell you, I am not surprised that he's already been injured. I'm not shocked about that.
I wish I could get a picture of your surprise face.
I mean, it's just not stunning that Derrick Rose has already missed games.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know if he's playing tonight. He didn't play on Friday, which I think was their last game. He's got a hamstring injury right now, so I don't know. I would be surprised if he plays tonight, I guess.
Yeah,
but I don't know. That's, we'll see.
He's always going to be interesting, man.
Blake Griffin, season debut tonight, though.
Really?
Yeah, he's making a season debut for the Pistons against the Wolves tonight in Detroit.
That will be it'll be interesting to see how they match up with that, with those two big guys up front now for them.
So. Certainly makes it more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
That is for sure. That's Manny Hill. You can find him on Twitter at MannyHill84. I'm Danny Cunningham. I'm on Twitter at RealDCunningham. If you want to get in touch with me, or you can leave us a review on the podcast, you can find the podcast, the Score North mobile app, scorenorth.com, Apple Podcast Store, or Spotify. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts. Raised by Wolves is there. We'll talk to you later this week.